once again. Now, it is my privilege, my honor, to welcome and introduce to you a fellow IBC pastor. There are more of us out there. There is one down in IBC Bonn. And I'd like to introduce you to Pastor Stephen Campbell. Stephen, please come up. So Stephen is the pastor of IBC Bonn. IBC Bonn began as a church plant about 5 or 6 years ago, if I'm correct.
Five years.
5 years ago from IBC Cologne. And Stephen has been the pastor there since 2019. He is married to Beth, and they have three children, Caleb, Samantha, and Deacon. And so we are very grateful and welcome you, Stephen, here today and to give us the message.
Thank you very much. It is a real blessing to be here. I've enjoyed, as a young pastor, being in a fellowship of churches around the world. This year, I've had the privilege of worshiping with our mother church in Cologne, with the IBC church in San Jose, Costa Rica, a church plant in Frankfurt, and with you here, our big sister here in Hamburg. We're a small church in Germany's former capital. When I became the pastor of the church, there were just 12 members. And it's been a blessing to be in a church that we meet in a room about the size of this middle section. And so it is a blessing to be here. I hope it will be a pleasure for you as well. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, I ask that you would humble us. Lord, would we sit at your feet, our great teacher, our Lord. Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear. Would you give us eyes to see? And Lord, would you give us hearts to understand? Lord, would we not only be hearers of the word, but would we also be doers of the word also? We pray this in your son's name. The theme of our text today is partnership. As you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16, we come to the closing chapter of Paul's great letter to the Romans. In this letter, he writes greetings to people in the church that he knows, some that he's heard of, some that he has ministered with. It's like reading somebody else's mail. And you'll see that as we read it together in a moment. But this is our main point. It'll be up on the screen for those who keep notes. The church, and by that I mean both local and global, the church is made up of co-workers in Christ Jesus. The church is made up of co-workers in Christ Jesus. I want you to grow in your understanding this morning of your place in the bigger picture of God's mission. His mission, of course, is to create for himself a people redeemed by the blood of his Son who will enjoy him and glorify him forever. This word mission comes from, it's related to the word for sending. Sending, you know about missionaries that you send. Did you know God is a missional God? God has always been sending. In the Old Testament, he sent his prophets to the people of Israel. He sent his word to them through these prophets. In the New Testament, we read about how he sent his very own son. And then the Son, we celebrated just this past Thursday on Ascension Day. The Son returns to the Father. And next week on Pentecost, we'll remember that God sent his Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit into your hearts and into mine and into the hearts of all Christians around the world. And then he sent his followers out into the world to make disciples. The church has a mission that flows out of a missional God. It's my prayer that with this passage today to help you faithfully fulfill that mission. My urge to you today is twofold, and these will be on the screen. I want to call you up to something, not call you out. You're not my church. I don't know you. I can't call you out, but I can call you up. I can call you up to something greater. And the first is this: don't be a consumer. Be an active part of the local body of Christ that participates in the mission of God to make disciples. I mean every part of making disciples, from evangelizing to serving one another. Paul talks about the gifts given to the church to build up the body until we all arrive at the maturity of Christ. In other words, we'll be at this our whole lives. The second thing I want to call you up to is this: to know that you are a fellow worker in what God is doing on a larger scale, local, national, and global. You see that every Sunday as the international church gathers. We celebrate as an international community that the gospel has gone out into the world. This is a picture of God's faithfulness to fulfill that promise. Sometimes we can get too focused on ourselves and forget that there's a world out there that needs to hear the gospel. Forget that there are brothers and sisters around the world. So I celebrate the reason I'm here, to enjoy this camaraderie that we have together in a family of churches, to receive from you a gift for a fellow church in Eastern Europe. So please stand with me as we read from God's Word. It's the practice in IBC Bonn to read entire chapters, long sections. Paul said to read Scripture publicly, so let's do that together. I'll read from Romans chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Eunia, my fellow Jew, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stechus. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, these women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. The church is made up of co-workers in Christ Jesus. You can, of course, get the sense that we're reading somebody else's email, somebody else's letter. Several years ago, while I was living here in Europe, I started getting emails from a library in Florida. The letter began, "Dear Stephanie," and I knew we were off to a bad start. "My name is Stephen Campbell," and the letter was addressed to a Stephanie Campbell who lived in Florida, and her books were overdue, and I had no way of letting Stephanie know that she needed to return her books. I was getting somebody else's mail. So I contacted the library and I told him the situation. I said, "Is there any way, how are you going to let her know?" And she said, "We have no other contact details." And so I just kept receiving these emails for about a year. It's a bit like that as we open up this letter to the Romans. This is obviously somebody else's letter. We don't know these people. We don't know these people, so it helps to understand a bit of the context. Paul is writing to a church in Rome. They are struggling, like many of the early churches, with unity. So he writes to them and he says, "Hey, listen up, you Jews. Listen up, you Gentiles. You're both sinners before God. Both of you are on level ground at the foot of the cross. You Jews had the law and you couldn't keep it. You Gentiles, you were a law to yourself, totally not even a part of the people of God. You're both guilty before a righteous God. But God came and saved you." He says to them, "You were both saved by divine will, by God's good grace, and for God's glory. You have both been called, Jews and Gentiles, to a new life in Christ as one body of Christ. And now you have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to pursue holiness, to live with one another in an understanding way, to love one another, to build one another up by using your gifts. Do you believe these things? Do you hold these things true? Have they changed your life?" In this closing chapter, Paul uses it as a way to continue his message. He greets both Jews and Gentiles, both women and men. This final greeting is a part of his vision to exhort the church to live in unity with one another as they live out their new identity in Christ. To live in unity in their identity and in their mission. They have a joint identity as the people of God, saved by grace through faith alone. As we dig deeper, I want to really just look at verse 3-5. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus." Perhaps you've heard these names, Priscilla and Aquila, before. Well, you see them all throughout the New Testament, in Acts and in Romans, in 1 Corinthians and in 2 Timothy. Aquila is a native of northern Turkey, a place called Pontus. He's a tent maker or a leather worker by trade. His wife, Priscilla, scholars think she might be a Roman citizen. She's mentioned first in almost every occasion. She might have been born a Roman citizen. Perhaps Aquila acquired his citizenship. Almost certainly, Aquila did the work of making leather goods, tents, or other leather products. And Priscilla, probably, now the two of them, as part of the craftsman guild, they probably had a shop. She probably ran the shop, the business, and dealt with customers. When we look at all of Scripture, we see that they have moved from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus to Rome, back to Ephesus. All of that within 15 or 20 years. Paul first meets them in Corinth. They were there because they were expelled from Rome. The emperor had said, every one of Jewish birth has to get out of Rome. And Paul meets them in Corinth. They appear to be wealthy and hospitable enough to host a church, both in Corinth and in Rome. And we know from the testimony of the New Testament that they know their scriptures. So he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. Your Bible might say fellow workers or co-laborers or those who work with me. All of these are translating the same Greek word, synergos. Synergos is the mental picture you should have in mind is of a Swiss clock. A Swiss watch, all of its parts working together for one common purpose. Swiss watches are great at doing one thing, telling the time. All of the pieces work together for one goal. There's a German at IBC Bonn who is a software engineer, and he's really good. He's really good at his job, certainly one of the best in the area. And he called me after the pandemic started, and IBC Bonn had to go digital with all the devices and all the things and all the stuff. And he called me up and he said, Stephen, I've been thinking and praying. I really want to use my gift to help synergize the church. He kept using this word synergy. We need these people to connect with those people. And the mental map I was getting sounded great. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I want that. Whatever it is you're describing of the church working together for one purpose, I want that. We as a church need to be working together. As a church, we need to see ourselves as working together towards the same mission of making disciples. On the local level, think of Paul's analogy of the body. Each one is a body part. And I don't know about you, but I like all my body parts to be in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. That is health. That's the picture of health, of a body with parts that are active. I don't like my leg to stay asleep when the rest of my body is ready to move. Do you know the mission and vision of your elders? Do you know the mission of the church? Are you a participating member? Are you serving one another? Using your gifts. I'm not ashamed to ask you. I don't have to come back here. But if you have the gift of service, and if you have time on your hand, contact Jenny and become the cleaner for the IBC office. Get involved in serving the church. Get involved as a co-laborer, utilizing your gifts, resources. On a global scale, we send and receive missionaries. We give financially to foreign missions. And this is a picture of this here, the local church, should be a small picture of what is happening on the global scale. I have no idea what the churches in Austin, Texas are doing right now. But I have to trust that the Lord is at work there. Maybe the Lord will call me to participate. Being co-workers implies that there's much to do. Working, right? Co-working. The fields are ripe, but there's a problem. The workers are few. The workers are few. The harvest is ripe, so the few workers have to do a lot of work. So jump in. Get involved. Participate. Use your spiritual gifts. In the way that our churches are oriented today, you could get the wrong impression that these are the people that who are using their gifts, and everybody else just comes to watch the 10 people use their gift. Paul says, these people up here don't need any more honor than they already get. We get the honor because we stand here. Paul says, the gifts that we should be honoring are those gifts that are more hidden. When you sit down with a brother or a sister and hear their pain and encourage them and pray with them, that is so important. If you're a member of this church, do you know the members? Do you pray for them? Do you pray for your elders? That is part of the necessary work. Or do you come here to watch 10 people do all the work? And then don't encourage them. Do you come to watch 10 people do the work and then get mad when they don't do it the way you would have done it, but you weren't willing to do it yourself? Paul says all this work, look at verse 3, is in Christ. In Christ. This is key because it's not just work. It's work in Christ. And in Paul's letters, in Christ is all over the place. He says that the Christian died with Christ. The Christian was buried with Christ. The Christian was raised with him. The Christian lives in him. And the Christian is seated with him in the heavenly places. Your identity is so bound up with Christ, you cannot separate it. And so when people meet you and when they meet me, when they meet Christians around the world, they should meet Christ. Your work in the local church, your work as a part of this body, should be work that you understand has Christ's stamp on it. It has Christ's name attached to it. Does it bring him glory? I want to illustrate how deeply I believe that we are actually Christ in the world. Christ is in heaven, but his spirit is in us, and we are Christ in the world. I never wanted to be a pastor. In fact, I did everything to avoid it, and except going to seminary. I went to seminary, and then that was a stepping stone to a PhD, and I did that, and IBC Cologne called and said, would you come for a visit? IBC Bonn needs a pastor, and they want to meet you. And my wife said, no way, we're not going. See, she grew up in a ministry home, and she had promised herself and told God, we're never going to be a ministry family. She never wanted to be a pastor's wife. And we went and visited, and the call officially came. And we as a family entered into a very difficult season of prayer and discernment. It was gut-wrenching. It had effects on our health. It was a very difficult season. And at one night, my wife was in the kitchen. We were there and we were just talking and praying and crying. She was crying so hard that her tears started to mix with blood. And in that moment, as we're in this really difficult time, it's as if I was watching Christ in the garden, because she said, "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done." You and I, when we meet people, when we parent our children, in our marriages, in our families, our relationships at work, when people meet us, they really should literally, and I mean that literally, literally encounter Christ. So the church is made up of co-workers in Christ Jesus. It's Him who energizes the work. It's not for James's glory. It's not for your glory. It's not for IBC Hamburg's glory. It is done in Christ. This is where the motivation comes from. It comes as a response to the salvation that has come in Christ. Christ's salvation, His redemption of us, has given us a new life, a new reason for life, and the means to fulfill this hard work. Church is a body of believers who have to disciple one another to fulfill this mission. Paul says in Ephesians that he has given leaders to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's not your elder's job to do all the work of ministry. It's his job to equip saints to do the work of ministry. How will we know when they're done? How will we know when IBC Hamburg is done? Paul says, do it until you attain the stature of Christ. Until IBC Hamburg looks just like Christ. That's how long you should be at work. So you'll be at it a while. I'll be at it a while. I now want to close with just a few reflection questions. I don't know if you've noticed, James is quite proud of my PowerPoints. The first city was Rome. The second one was Hamburg. The third was Bonn. And this one, thank you. And this one is Bucharest, where we're going in June to visit IBC Bucharest. For these reflection questions. The first is this: do you acknowledge that you have a mission? Do you labor in that mission, or are you a spectator? Number two, be honest with yourself. Number three, do you live and labor with the other members of this body? Or you try to fulfill the mission alone? Do you work with this body? Or are you a rogue body part? Fourthly, do you labor in Christ Jesus? Or do you rely on your own strength and wisdom? Those who are serving up here are especially at risk of that, doing it by their own strength instead of in Christ? I'm going to leave these reflection questions for you. I'm going to pray, and I want you to reflect on them while the music team comes forward. But let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this local church. I love the church. And having just met this church, Lord, I love it. And I want you to bless IBC Hamburg. Lord, I pray that this church would strive in its unity, Lord. Lord, I pray that this church would acknowledge the unity that they have in Christ and would strive to maintain it. Lord, I thank you that this church is a fellow laborer of IBC Bonn. Lord, I ask for your blessing, for your guidance and your strength in this church as it fulfills your mission. Lord, I pray that this church would bring you glory and honor and praise. That everyone who comes and visits this church, or those who meet its members in the week, would encounter your Son. Lord, I pray for the families and the marriages, the friendships. Lord, would they be honoring to you? Would the homes represented here, Lord, be full of you? In your Son's name we pray. Amen.